This is Digital Dave.
And Fast Eddie.
And I still can't get my fingers in there.
And things are still broke. But
yeah, especially with us.
The good news is we didn't break it this time.
That's right. One of the major laws of troubleshooting is it broke? Did you break it? Can you find someone else to blame?
Hey, and speaking of finding someone else to blame, we got our good friend here, Barnaby Wayne Fan, is back with us. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
I gave him an official title, the bottomless font of knowledge.
We won't go any further than that, trust me.
We don't need to go there.
He's here to lend legitimacy to our program.
Good luck.
Only alone, though, right, guys?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm back every year to renew it.
Now we heard you made a major announcement in your forum yesterday?
For those of us who are been around long enough, remember the Facetmobile, which we brought here in 1994. It's hard to believe it's been that long.
Yeah, no kidding.
But that project went through various interesting episodes and kind of disappeared. And a few years ago, some of the guys from EAA Chapter 292 up in Independence, Oregon, approached me and said, you know, we're done building World War I replicas. We got enough Newports and de Havilland IIs and things like that. We want to build Facetmobiles. And so they actually came.
More than one?
Yeah.
Uh-oh, squadron.
Well, what they did is we came down to where the remains of the original Facetmobile are, you know, it's partially restored.
The remains. Doesn't sound good.
Well, when engines stop at 600 feet, life gets really interesting for a brief period before you hit the fence.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, that airplane had been partially restored, but it never got finished. So the good news was it wasn't covered, so they could get to the structure and we could reverse engineer the airplane. Because, you know, when we built it the first time, we didn't make detailed plans. We were running off dimension sketches.
Okay.
And so, but I did still have my original, you know, numbers and things like that. So reverse engineered it. And then remember last year when I talked to you guys, we talked about using NC machinery to make parts and all of that. And I told you I couldn't tell you what it is. Well, now I can tell you what it is. It's Facetmobiles, because what the guys up in Independence did is they actually modeled the entire structure of the airplane in SolidWorks.
Wow.
And then they have their own homemade three-axis NC machines. And so they actually NC'd all of the tubes and all of the gussets for the hull. And
production line.
Really? Well, it could be. Right now, they told me they have 6 builders signed up to want to do it. They've actually, the entire hangar wall up in Independence is covered with Facetmobile elevons and fins and rudders, because they've built the fins and rudders and control surfaces for 6 airplanes. And then a gentleman named Bob Engel is building the lead ship. And so that airplane is structurally complete. It's on the gear, the engine's hung, and they're in the you know, the other 90%, which is the systems,
right?
You know, plumbing, wiring, all of that. Best bet will probably be taxiing by the end of the year, early next year. But the cool thing is that when they built the first airplane, they did one test run of all the tubes and PVC pipe first and clecoed that up to make sure it looked about right. And then they ran the first set of parts in aluminum. And they got them off the machine and they said, you know what, before we do much more, let's just cleco it up and just see how we're doing. And so they clecoed it up and shook it a little bit so you could hear a little click of all the clecos, you know, bottoming in the holes. And they had the truss sitting on the hangar floor and it was rocking. And they went, uh-oh. It's twisted. And then they got out their digital levels, and what they found out is the airplane was dead nuts straight. It was the hangar floor that was
right,
twisted.
The hangar floor was not level.
But, you know, because it's a fully triangulated truss, it was so cleanly true just coming off the NC machine that they didn't need any fixturing. They didn't need a level table. They just literally leveled up a couple of sawhorses and started driving rivets.
Wow.
So, you know, it's pretty cool. And if fate is kind, you know, next year there'll be a Facetmobile flying again.
Oh, my goodness.
That's great.
Now, are they going to use a 582 engine? Or
oh, God, no. We are done with two strokes.
So done with two strokes.
Well, you know, I only let an engine stop in flight on me once.
Okay.
You know.
So this is definitely going to be the little check jet then.
You know, dreams.
Let's go to the other end of the spectrum.
What is that? The PBJ engine or whatever it is?
I have sketches, but I'll probably never go that far. No, the ship one's going to be powered by a converted VW.
Okay.
We had a lot of discussion about what engine to power it with, because one of the issues, you know, weight and balance is a serious issue. But, you know, eventually it got down to HKS Jabiru or VW, and the VW is a little heavier, but it's a lot less expensive, and the guys up there are much more familiar with them.
Right. They have them all on all the new ports, right?
And yeah. And I think they're actually going to have the liquid cool version on their de Havilland 2s. So it, in any case, I was able to find the original weight and balance sheet for the airplane. I mean,
that's an organized man.
You no, got that right.
That's a lucky man. Because I was looking everywhere for it. Couldn't find it. I looked in all my notes, couldn't find it. And finally, when actually it was at AirVenture last year, I was at dinner with the guys from the chapter, and Dave Ullman was the president of the chapter. He said, "Well, you know, you should have had it in the airplane when you flew it." Mm. And it went
bing, oh,
bing. Yeah, so I went and, you know, because I've got the little pouch that we all put our, you know, certificate of airworthiness in or our registration in, and I had actually looked at that before, and sure enough, folded up in the back. Where you never look at it after the first flight, there was the original weight and balance. And so I was able to copy that and get it up to the guys. And, you know, they're now weighing things off and we're adjusting engine mounts and doing all those things home builders do to get the CG in the right place. Right,
getting rid of the cup holders.
Yeah, now what's really interesting and is that the engine they're putting on it is going to be close to 90 horsepower. And the original airplane was flying on a 503 Rotax, which is 46.
Wow.
So, hot rod.
Well, yeah, and we're talking about that a lot. And you know, because we don't want to try to increase VNE on the airplane, which means probably flat pitch prop and climb like mad.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to quote any numbers because we don't know until we fly, but, you know, what my calculator is telling me is pretty exciting. So,
wow. Is that aluminum tube?
Yeah, it's aluminum tube.
Okay.
It's all 6061.
Right.
Almost all of the airplane is 1-inch 035 wall tube.
Okay.
And, you know, just a gee whiz number for people, the original airplane, the entire primary structure of the airplane, not counting the landing gear, weighed 68 pounds.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, jeez.
Wow. Well, now you've got an engine with much more horsepower. Two-seater?
Maybe. We've actually done the numbers. One of the guys wanted to try root plugging it and doing like a 1+1. I doubt that version will happen, although the numbers say it would be sort of viable. But I have been continuing on the design of the two-place, and I've got a configuration I really like. And, you know, so I'm kind of standing at the edge of the cliff looking over.
And, hey, you know, you got a CNC facility. I'm sure they'd love to cut you some too.
And, you know, every home builder knows he can just, I'll knock it together in a year, right?
Yeah, right, right.
So, yeah. But I'm also at an interesting stage in my life in that my youngest daughters, who are twins, just turned 18. And they're off to college, and suddenly Dad's going to be rattling around the house with
nothing to do.
Yeah, that's not good for anybody who has to deal with me, or me for that matter. But so, you know, obviously as an EAA, the logical conclusion is it's time to start building another airplane. But, you know, I haven't committed to that project yet. The way I look at it is I've got about another 6 months to a year of serious engineering, you know, to really lay out the structure and do the numbers for real and get an RC model flying or get in the wind tunnel with the new shape. And
it must be nice to have those connections.
Well, wind tunnels, not heck, you can get a wind tunnel test anytime you want. All you got to do is bring money.
That's right. Lots of it.
You know, so I am trying to work some of the connections to see if I can do that at something that's affordable, and that the jury's out on that. But, you know, we can all build big RC models. And, you know, when we developed the original Fastenmobile, I went through a series of RC models finishing with a quarter scale. And, you know, those are good for getting basic stability and control information and for warning you of seriously dangerous things. They're not useful for performance numbers.
Right.
Although you get a good general indication, you know, if you're flying a big model on a little engine and it's doing okay, say, okay, well, it's probably good enough. So I'm going to start down that path again and certainly get the RC model flying.
Oh, boy.
Sounds like right up my alley. I'd love to fly it.
Now, as I recall,
you got my number, Eddie.
didn't you have to enter through the bottom of the airplane?
Yes, we did. And the airplane that's being built up in Oregon, since it's a clone of the original, it still has the floor hatch. You know, I'm older, but I'm still flexible enough to get in. I tried it.
Oh, boy.
But, you know, for the two-place, that's actually one of the biggest engineering challenges in the airplane is how do you get in and out of the thing? Because, you know, when you walk up to it, you're 7 feet. When your shins hit the wing leading edge, you're 7 feet from the seat.
Right.
You know, I mean, that was a problem John Dyke had with the Dyke Delta. And if you look at the Dyke Delta community, everybody's got a different interesting little boarding ladder. And there's also a cautionary tale from the Dyke. You know, back in the Rockford days, John had a real scare where he took off in 555 Alpha. And right after liftoff, the canopy popped open, and he couldn't maintain altitude. He ended up dumping the airplane in the grass between the runways at Rockford. you know, because the lesson is, you know, because the Fastenmobile is kind of an all lifting shape,
right?
You know, your windshield is part of the wing,
right?
And if the door pops open, you've just basically punched a big hole in the wing. So that's, you know, that is something that takes a good bit of engineering. And you know, the solution would have to be either a plugged, almost an airline style plug door, or a redundant latch system. Now, I would put the floor hatches in anyway. I mean, the two-place will have floor hatches, because then even if they're not your primary entry and exit, they're a good safety feature, because if you're upside down.
Right.
And, you know, obviously the only time I want to be upside down in that airplane is in the air, but stuff happens. You can get out. And the other thing I found is having a hatch on the floor is really nice when you have to work on stuff behind the panel.
Yeah.
Because that way you're standing on the ramp with your head
right, upright. Up in the panel.
You're not upside down and backwards with your feet in the air hooked over the back of the seat, you know, with the blood rushing to your head. I mean, there's no doubt that I'll have floor hatches on any future version, but that whole
ejection seat.
No, BRS, yes. Ejection seat, no. You know, but there's no doubt that that whole business of how do you engineer the entry-exit is one of the toughest problems on that kind of configuration.
Wow.
So. Sounds like it's going to be a great project.
Yep.
So, you know, keep the good wishes coming in. You know, hey, Barnaby, when are you going to build the airplane or something?
Right.
You know, I need that encouragement.
Well, we want to see it here next year.
We're all dreamers, aren't we,
Dave? Yes, we are.
Well, I mean, like I said, if fate is kind, there's a possibility that we'll get the, you know, the FMX4 clone, the Fastenmobile clone here. But it's, once again, it's only a possibility. It's, you know, these are home-built projects. They're being done by really good, really diligent guys, but it's still one or two people working.
Right, schedules
as
are
they
subject
can.
To change without notice.
And, you know how we know about scratch building airplanes. It takes a long time. So it's cool to see it happening.
Yep. Well, I want to thank you for joining us, Barnaby. It's always great to have you here. This is Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.